So just one last point, just for the senior barbecue, that's June 21st. That is for men and women, so we just want to clarify that. So if you are, usually it's the senior ladies luncheon, but this is actually opened up for the men and the women to come out to that. So definitely come on out, and it'll be a good time for sure. So just to correct that. My gift to you guys today is to end 1 minute early. I'm going to try this. It's my goal. Pastor Mark is on vacation, so we just want to be praying for him, just that he get a very restful time. It's been a lot. The last few months, there's been a lot of stuff going on, and definitely need to be continually praying for our pastor, because it's just there's so much, and he just does so much behind the scenes, and just that we'd be praying that he'd be refreshed and being able to come back just reinvigorated and just ready to go again. Al, you going to say something? Or? Okay. So when we look at Father's Day, and we're just going to watch a quick video on that. Jacob, if you want to cue that one up for the skit guys. We look at Father's Day as something that we want to celebrate dads, we want to celebrate fathers, and I love how this parallels to God our Father and how we celebrate Him every day. But the thought does occur to me that there's sometimes in life that we've gone through circumstances with our earthly fathers that might not have always been a great representation of love. And I think at times we can all say that. I know myself as a dad, there's once or twice I've dropped the ball. It's not very often, but my wife is smirking. But the reality of that is that we have to watch that we're not taking that representation of our own experience that we've had with our earthly fathers or men in our lives that have been mentors and looking at God through that lens. So God's love for us is incredibly more than I can ever love my children, and I love my children incredibly. So when we start looking at what that love looks like, and we'll talk a little bit about that today, it's just an amazing, true message. So as we're talking about fathers today, even if you haven't had that great experience with your own earthly father, we can all understand and look at what would it look like to have that loving relationship, and that is exactly what God wants to give us, that loving relationship, that He is present, He is here, and He wants to love us in a way that our earthly fathers could never love us. So whether we've had the best example or not quite such a good example, all of that aside, who is God? And He is faithful, beautiful, loving, and wants to give us that relationship that blows us out of the water. So we'll just watch that video and then we'll start.
Hey kids, Mom needs more help inside.
Hey, how many kids do you have?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
That is a good number.
Whoa. Let's just concentrate on this one for now. Hey, what's it like being a dad?
Oh, I would love 1 hour with you. 1 hour of just being with you, then I could say,
kiss her, Daddy, kiss her.
Hashtag gag me.
Ugh.
Mr. Clamps has been sleeping for 2 days, Daddy. Goodbye, Mr. Clamps.
No.
All right, just slow down a little
bit. Stop yelling at me.
I don't think that's... Oh, okay. All right, and that is why we always wear our seatbelt. And that's the birds and the bees.
On the phone.
Yeah. I am so proud of you, son.
Run.
Huh?
Run, it's gonna blow!
No!
have I told you lately?
I know, Dad. You love me. You tell me all the time.
Actually, I was going to tell you I think you're beautiful inside and out.
Whatever. Dad, you are disgusting.
Yeah, Dad, you are disgusting.
This right here goes to your future, this right here goes to you, and this right here goes to God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How much does God get?
What's wrong, beautiful?
Trevor broke up with me.
Thank you, Lord.
He's such a jerk. He broke up with me on a text message.
You just replied.
Dad, I can't believe you! Thanks, Dad.
He didn't deserve you. He didn't deserve you.
One, two, three! Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us.
God has the coolest job, getting to make clouds all day.
Yeah, he does. But I think one of his very best jobs is when he made you.
Daddy.
Hey, what's it like being a dad?
How much time you got?
Going to open up in prayer, guys. Father God, I thank you so much for you and just for you being the greatest father. Lord, I thank you for dads. I thank you that, God, we're made in your image and that, Lord, just walking this life out, God, you give us so much opportunity to bless our families, our loved ones, and thank you for the honor and privilege it is to be a father. And God, I thank you that as we look at your word today, God, that we would just turn this back to know who you are as our Father, not just as a God who sits on a throne, but as our Dad. We thank you for today, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just speak through my words and that it would just be about you today, Father God. So thank you for this opportunity for you. In your name we pray, amen. So as you can see, we have some gifts for the dads. So we did carnations for the moms, and I feel like maybe the dads got a bit of a better deal on this. But again, you remember what I was talking about, in my weakness, God is strong, and he keeps showing me this. So Tiffany and I have been doing this special diet to keep inflammation down. So I can't have chips, and I can't have good things like that. So all week, they were sitting in my office, and I was just looking at them, and I was thinking, God, you're so funny. That's true. Measure my waist, so. That's true. There's some really neat stuff in there, but I couldn't get past the chips, so. So consider these facts. Jesus traveled and taught for 3 years. There are about 110 pages in the Bible dedicated to his ministry and message. We have approximately 25,000 words that Jesus spoke recorded in the Bible. Of those 25,000 words, Jesus taught about the Father in heaven at least 181 times. This means one out of every 140 words Jesus was speaking about his Father. His central message and purpose was to restore us to a relationship with our Father in heaven. So I put together a compilation of my 10 favorite verses about our Father in heaven, and about two of them were spoken directly by Jesus himself. So as we kind of go through some of these 10, I just want us to kind of think on this, because we can hear a message today, and we can listen to what we're, you know, what we're going to be talking about, that God loves us, God takes care of us, God's a provider, God, you know, is amazing. But if it's not a heart message, it's almost like we need revelation knowledge sometimes, not just spoken knowledge. If we don't live with this truth, if we don't have this abiding in our heart, we can miss the whole fact of who God is. It kind of comes to that idea again of, we know who God is, but do we know God personally? And he desires that personal relationship with each one of us, to have that intimacy. Intimacy is such a key factor. As I was reading through these scriptures, there's a scripture in Psalms, which we'll end on, 139, where it talks about him putting his hand on you. You know, there's a connection that's taking place within this. So I definitely just want to kind of highlight some of that today and just talk a little bit about it. But again, don't just hear what I'm saying. You know, think about this in your own life. When you're in that situation where you're fearful and nobody else can help you out, do you truly go to God first? Do you believe that he is the one who is going to save you? You know, it changes our perspective that if I wake up in the morning and I know that I am a son to the King Most High because of what Jesus did, that I get to share in an inheritance with him for eternity that God has set aside for me. That's an incredible, incredible gift and an incredible father. And if we don't understand that full concept of who God is, if to us, if he's sitting on a throne and he's just kind of there, and when I need him, I can ask for help. And if I'm having a really good day, I might thank him. But the Lord's looking for something so much more than that. There's an intimacy level where he wants to be a part of everything we're doing. He wants to know the good times and the bad times. See, we're funny as people because in the really good highlighted times, it's really easy to forget God because everything is going well and we're in these situations that it's like, well, Lord, I know you love me, but I'm just really busy. But God wants to be a part of all of those things we're doing, that we're talking with him, that we're spending time in his word to know him. The other side of it, when we're in great trials, sometimes we do everything that we can possibly do first and then say, well, God, okay, now that I've burned every option that I have, can you please help me? That's not the relationship God wants with us either. He wants to be there in the moment to say that I'm here with you in the greatest times of your life or the hardest times of your life. It's no different than our own fathers. You know, if I were to look at my kids and if I only loved them when they were good, that would be a very selfish relationship. And if I didn't want to be there for them if they were struggling or hurting, I'd be like, well, you guys can figure this out. That wouldn't make me a very good father. Now think of how much more God loves us. You know, and when we get into Psalms 139, when we start breaking it down a little bit of just how he's created us, you know, he's made us in his image. There's something so beautiful within this, that he knit you in your mother's womb. You know, I love that thought, that not only did he create you to look the way you do, you know, and so often we get caught in this self-image idea that I don't want to look the way I want to look, but you are God's perfect masterpiece. You know, and that's incredible to think that he made you exactly how you were supposed to look. And then on top of it, have a plan for your life. That's incredible to think that he already knows the plans that he has for you, and they're good. You know, that's going to turn into a sermon, so let's get going here. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? So that's Matthew 6:26. Everything that God is saying in this verse is that, what is your need? It doesn't mean that we can ask God for anything that our little heart desires and we're going to sit here and say that, yeah, I'm going to get this Ferrari and I'm going to have all this money and this bigger house is what I want. Our desire becomes God's heart's desire in our lives. As we spend more time with him, our own earthly desires change. So maybe at one time I would have wanted these grandeur things, but as I start spending more time with God, I become more like his son, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, my heart one day changes and I realize that these things that I so wanted don't hold any value anymore. And I start looking at the things that God cares about. So suddenly the homeless person on the street is not just somebody I have to give money to. My heart cries out to tell them the salvation message, to pray for them, to spend time with that person who's down and out. Whatever scenario you would put into that, it shows how God changes our heart. That wasn't good. What do you think? So this is going into Matthew 18, 12, verse 14. What do you think if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away? Will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go look for the one that's wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will be happier about that one sheep than the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. If we look at God's heart from this perspective, at any time in your life when you haven't felt valued, at any point in your life where you've felt that, well, does God really love me? Look what I've done, look what I've said, look what I've thought. And the honest truth is that if you are that one that's wandered off, the Lord comes leaving everything behind and he comes running to find you. You know, what trust that is. That the other 99 will be fine, but I'm going after that one that needs me. That's a father's heart that pursues after us, that loves us with a passion, doesn't want any of us to perish, not one of us to fall away, that he would just leave everything behind to come after you. So often in my life, I've been that one sheep. I've been the one who's backslidden, the one who's gone off into my own things and found that there was nothing the world could offer. But to understand, and I look back and I see how God pursued me over and over and over. I didn't deserve it. I blatantly said to the Lord, I don't want this anymore. I want to live my own life. And yet he still pursued me. I'm so thankful that he did every day. You know, so think of your life right now, and that is the Father. This verse to me is one of the most pinnacle ones that we're going to cover today, because that's the Father's heart for you. That if you are lost, no matter what you've done, no matter what, you picture a sheep, if he was sitting in the mud and he was just representing in our life the muck we get into, would the shepherd honestly say, oh, you're too muddy to come back to my flock, I'm not taking you? He would pick the lamb up and he would look over the lamb, he would clean it off, he would introduce it back in to the flock, celebrating that nothing happened to it. That's our Father's heart. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind and to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So the key part in this, again, is as we're emphasizing the fact that our heart changes, so that whether people are, you know, great to us or not, there's a love that God gives us that's the same love that he has for us. Because I often think of that truth that when he was going to the cross, you know, he says that even when you were my enemy, you know, think of this truthfully, even though I would spit in God's face, he would still choose to die for me. And even if I didn't accept that salvation message, even if I said, okay, you know, God, I'm great that you died on the cross for me, but I still don't believe it, I still don't accept it. You know, even in that, he still said, I would choose to die for you to give you that opportunity that you would come to salvation, you would come to grace. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. That's Luke 12:32. I know that sometimes we get caught up in our world. I know that sometimes we get caught up in the things that we're doing. We have our jobs, we have our plans, we have our businesses, whatever it would be. But if we just stop for a moment, and I want to encourage you to try this for a second, just put your world to the side, because someday none of this is going to matter. We're going to be in eternity with God, spending that time with him forever. And then he says that the kingdom that I have, I want to give it to you, that you can partake in this, that you can share this for eternity. And everything, and I like how Francis Chan says this, he goes, if you honestly, and this may be a little crass, but it's Francis Chan, so I'm going to quote him. He says, you know, if you're holding on to this big pile of poo and you're so excited about it, you're like, oh my goodness, look at this poo. This is amazing. I just love it. Like, this is so awesome. And we're running around showing everybody, like, I can't believe this part of this. Like, that's amazing. I think there's this and this, and all this is amazing. This represents our life. Everything that we hold on that's dear, that God looks at it and says, like, why are you hanging on to this? Why is this so important to you? Because I've created everything. I've made all these things, and yet you're holding on to your life saying that how wonderful and amazing it is, but if you knew what you had in my kingdom, if you knew what you'll have in eternity, none of this would matter. So my question is, what are you holding on to today? I'm not saying poo, but what are you holding on to today that's that important? What are you holding on to in your life that causes you anxiety, fear, stress, that you can't give it to God the Father and say, Lord, take this from me and I'm leaving it with you. I don't need this anymore. I don't want this anymore because it's not important. You know, do I have enough finance to get through the next week? We have a God in heaven through his word that says that he will provide for us if we're praying, having fellowship with him. Our God provides. It's an incredible truth, but we have to empower it. We have to be a part of that relationship, and God does it. Even when we don't deserve it, he still does it. You know, it's an incredible gift that God gives. So my challenge in part of this message, the other half of this, is what do we hang on to close to our hearts? You know, if it isn't that love with God, if it isn't that desire to know him more, see, the world is designed to distract us. The world is designed to take us out of that plan that God has for our lives through good circumstances and bad circumstances. But the reality of it is if we can come into this place today, his mercies are new every morning, we have a fresh start. So we can lay down the things of this world, the things that draw our time away, the things that keep hammering us with stress and anxiety. And yes, guys, in this world, there are these things that do cause these things, but we have a bigger God who says that I will take care of you through it. I love the little story of a boy who says, you know, he's just going through this really horrific time, and people are all saying to him, look at what's happening to you. And it's represented as a mountain in this story, and they keep looking at this huge mountain, and everyone's saying, you can't go over it. It's too big. You're not going to get through this. You're stuck. This mountain, representing his circumstances, is just too much. And the boy just looks at them, and he says, you know, that mountain has no idea who my God is. And God then moves the mountain out of our lives. It's the perspective that we need to have with childlike faith to believe that our God can do anything. Even when our mind counteracts it and we take those thoughts into captivity, we read his word and we bring it back to the point of saying that, God, your truth is you. It's your word, and your word applied is truth. And when we know that we can pray into this and have God be that best friend, that father to us, what good father would not want to do those things for his children? So it's an incredible gift that he gives us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. John 14, 1, verse 2. So even there we see Jesus, who's now going to make a place for us personally. That's amazing. It's not just one big place for everybody to come, but it's the personal relationship that God knows your heart, the desires of that relationship. He's gone to make a place for us. That's incredible. Do not let your hearts be troubled. This is John 14, 1, verse 2. Trust in God. Trust also in me. If my Father... Oh, sorry. I just did this one. For my Father, there's many rooms. If not... Sorry. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. So John 16, 27. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. That's John 16, 27. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Romans 8, 15 to 16. God has given us a spirit through his Holy Spirit that we're not a slave to those things anymore that once held on to us. So sin in your life, things in your life that have dragged you down, areas of anxiety, stress, and those different things, God is saying today that through the Spirit I've given you, you're no longer a slave to those things. Stop believing it and start believing in me. And as we start looking at the Father, these things become less and less. Those holds in our lives, those strongholds in our lives, as we spend more time with the Father, they become less and less. He starts breaking down these strongholds, these barriers that have kept us from him. Those distractions, those things that we've loved that were in competition with God, suddenly my heart changes and that thing doesn't have that draw anymore. It's not that same amount of time being spent in something that isn't God. You know, but it's taking those first steps of coming into that place and saying, God, I need you. I need to start spending it. So my number one prayer every morning is, Lord, help me to fall more in love with you, because it's so easy for me to fall out of love with you, and I don't want that. On my own strength, I don't go very far, but through that strength with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, I'm able to continually fall in love with him day after day after day, where he becomes that priority in my life. He becomes that thought, my first thought in the morning. It doesn't always go that way, and I wish that it did, but it's having that time with the Lord and just, you know, being able to say, God, you know, the very best I have today, I want to give to you. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? That's Matthew 7, verse 9-11. It's an amazing truth that God does say. How great is the love of the Father that lavishes on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. 1 John 3, verse 1. So, this message in all of these verses are hammering into our hearts that you have a Father who loves you, he is strong enough to protect you, he is engaged enough to teach you, he is tender enough to hug you, he is alive enough to play with you. And the number one verse regarding the love of the Father is this amazing truth: no matter how far you have wandered, you can still come home. Regarding the prodigal son, Jesus tells us, when he came to his senses, he said, I will set out and go back to my Father. Luke 15, verse 17. I just want to share one more video today. I don't normally do two videos, but I got caught into two of them, one being Father's Day. But as we watch this, it's almost like a rally cry. When I saw this word, it's a spoken word, it just really touched me in such a way where I just thought, Lord, this is where our hearts need to be. You know, we've come from a place of brokenness. We've come from a place of not understanding maybe who God is. Maybe you're in this place today where you haven't even made that commitment to the Lord. You know, but this is your day. This is an opportunity to come to a Father who loves you. So we'll just watch that video, and we'll just close off with Psalms 139.
I remember the first time I met you. I was 13. And I was just a kid back then, but at the time I was hurting. And Dad preached a sermon about how you were the anchor of our souls from the book of Hebrews. I remember closing my eyes that morning, and I promise I could see you. And you were calling me to come home with open arms like you were in love with me. And when I got up and came forward, the weight on my shoulders fell off suddenly. And I found out what it means to be set free. The church was packed that day, but I swear it was just you and me. And at that altar, I prayed that you would forgive me. I had been living for the world, and it had left me empty. And you whispered in my ear, and you called me son. You told me at that second that you had forgotten every bad thing that I'd done. I found the answers I'd been searching for. Until this day, it's your glory that I'm burning for. And I just want to thank you, Jesus, for the sanctification process that's possible through salvation, which comes from your sacrifice. I was dead, but you gave me life. And you gave me purpose. You gave me sonship when the world called me worthless. And you made me a man when I was surrounded by boys as my peers. You advanced me in years, and you gave me a heart for the hurting, and you give the hurting a heart. You put back together what the world had torn apart. You told me that I was worth the cross and the price you paid. Thousands of revivals later, and I can't wrap my mind around the lives you've saved. You are everything to me, and I can't live without you. And I want to be a voice of reassurance to the people who doubt you. And I want to stand up and fight back when people down you. I was at my lowest in life when I found you. Or maybe you found me. Either way, I know at that moment that I was drowning. I was depressed and I was angry. Teachers and preachers did everything they could to tame me. And then you brought that queen into my life named Jamie. And we started following Jesus together. And I pray, God, you continue to lead us forever. And I pray you use these hands I have and you fashion them for battle. You made me to ride into the fight strapped up in the saddle. And on this white horse, I will ride into this fight. And I will spark up this torch and illuminate the light. And you will disseminate your might. I believe, God, you'll eliminate the bite. And the snares of Satan will not touch me. And although 1,000 on each side will continue to rush me, I hear your voice as you cry out, trust me. And I trust you, Lord, and I'll run this marathon. And you promise to carry me on. And I hope one day my family finds a mountain to bury me on. Because I never stayed at the bottom, I climbed to the top. And I nearly died when I dropped.
But you picked me up and you pushed me on, and I stood up and fought back against every demon that took me on. And my God is great and my God is good, and his goodness is never ending. This isn't hoping and wishing that I'm sending. This is all that I have. My God is my dad, and I will fight for his name until they put me in the grave. I'm another Voth preparing for warfare in this cave. So bring us your giants and bring us your spears. The perfect love of our general cast out all fears. We aren't afraid of the devil or the arrows you've planned. We're confident in battle, because no weapon formed against us will ever stand.
That's what I was trying to say. Thanks. So in Psalms 139, it talks about a father's love. When we see that, that is the heart passion that stirs in us. That is the heart's desire that we would stand against all odds for our king, our father, our dad. You know, when I think of my kids, what blesses me is when they look to me and say, and they don't maybe use it like this, they don't say it, but in their words, they're saying, "Dad, I'm so glad that you provide for us well." That blesses my heart. You know, when we stand before the Lord sometimes and we say, "God, I don't know if you're going to provide for me. I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know how this is going to look." I think that really grieves his heart sometimes. If we believe that he can do all things because he says that he can, what an incredible joy that is to a father's heart when your children believe in you. It's a father's gift. It's an amazing gift. As a provider, as someone who can take care of us, we would defend that father tooth and nail, no matter who would say, you know, "My dad is greater." We would say, "No, my dad is greater." And all of us in this room can say that our father is greatest. In Psalms 139, it talks about his thoughts being endless towards us. And that's what I want to end on today. If you just think of that truth, when you fall in love with somebody, and this is the only thing that I can think of that would come close to this, that you are so enamored by that person and you are in love with them and your thoughts are so directed to them, you eat, breathing, and sleeping that moment, that person, you know, and that is God's heart for us. His thoughts are endless, like the sand, the grains of sand on the seashore. I can't even imagine that. You know, we look at, even in the Old Testament, it talks about God singing and dancing over us. You know, those thoughts that he has. We have no idea how much God actually truly loves us. And someday in eternity, and I think it's why we're going to be in eternity, because we're going to continue to always be learning of that love that God has for us, because we can't fathom it. I want you to know that you have a father who loves you no matter what you've done, thought, said, haven't done. He loves you. And he wants that personal relationship with you. He wants you to spend time with him, because it's not a chore list that we have to do. It's not something that we have to put on the table and say, "Oh, another thing I need to do." But if we fell in love with him and our thoughts became endless towards him and we started pursuing him back, what would matter? Nothing. Our time would become his. Our thoughts would be with him. Our prayer time would become a conversation 24/7. That is what our Father's looking for. Where do you start? Exactly where you are today. His mercies are new every day. It's just turning from sin and saying, "Lord, I want to choose you and I want to fall more in love with you." We'll pray that now. God, I thank you so much for you. Father, that you made a way for us through your son, Jesus. And that's all you would have had to do. And yet you continue to bless us by calling us now your children. You adopt us into that place, Lord Jesus. And I thank you so much for that. And on top of that, then you say that you can even share in this inheritance. Lord, you bless us incredibly. And God, I pray that for each one here today, Lord, we all have a story. We're all going through different circumstances. And there's areas of our lives where, Lord, we can even say, "Lord, I don't understand why this happened." But if we come to that place of knowing that we can trust you in the storm, that there is an answer for the trials and the things that we've gone through, and the answer is you. Lord, you walk with us through the darkest times. You don't have to, but you choose to because of relationship. And in our greatest moments, Lord, when we're celebrating and we're excited, God, I thank you that you're celebrating with us. But Lord, out of the whole truth of this, Lord, your love does not change for us. God, whether we're at our worst state or our best state, your love stays the same. And God, I pray that for each one here as we close this sermon, that, Lord, we would leave this place saying, Lord, I know that you do love me, and I want to love you well too. So, Lord, help us to fall more in love with you. Thank you for Father's Day, and thank you that you are the greatest Father. We give you all the glory. Amen. So just after the last song, guys, there's two things. We have the snacks and stuff up here, so if you are a dad, come up and just take one item. Doesn't matter what it is. Take the chips first. That'd be great. The second thing today, guys, for all of us to take, Richard will have them in the back, and if you can't stay till the end, they're just going to be sitting on the ledge back there. I had printed up the Father's love letter. It's even on cardstock because you guys are worth that. So I want you to take it with you, and I sometimes will say take something, and we don't always take it. I want to challenge you guys this week to take it, to read it. It's all backed up by God's word, and take it to heart. Hide this scripture in your heart, because if you can get this concept that God loves you the way that he says he does, everything changes. So take one with you, put it on your fridge, whatever you need to do, but read it daily. It'll change your life.